Greetings, this is Pastor Thomas A. DeLoach, and this episode is brought to you by To Empower You, a podcast dedicated to helping young adults and young couples achieve their goals and dreams from a biblical context. Pastor Thomas A. DeLoach.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to this episode of To Empower You. I am your host, Thomas A. DeLoach, and on today's show, I want to talk about your problems are God's blessings. Now, in the interest of full disclosure, these points that I'm going to share with you are not mine in totality. A good friend of mine shared them with me, and I took these points and I doctored them up a little bit and added my sauce to it. And a few other things. And I shared it with my church a few years ago. And now I want to share it with you. No matter if you're married or single, young person, young adult, it makes no difference. I believe these points are going to help you to see what God is actually doing with the problems that you have and how God can bring you out and pull you through on the other side with the victory that you deserve in life. Now, let's define what problems actually are. They could be defined as a matter or even a situation regarded as unwelcomed or harmful and needing to be dealt with and overcome. Another thing could be that is something in your life that is just difficult to achieve or even accomplish. The problems you face will either defeat you or develop you, depending on how you respond to them. And unfortunately, most people fail to see how God wants to use their problems for the good in their lives. They react foolishly and they resent their problems rather than pausing to consider what benefit they might bring. So here are five ways God wants to use the problems in your life. Now, before I give you point number one, I think you might want to write this down or hold this in your memory banks. God doesn't bring problems. He provides opportunities. I want to say that to you again. God doesn't bring problems. So I think it's important that we don't charge God falsely when problems happen in our lives, but rather he provides opportunities or ways for you to take that problem and cause something good and great and excellent to happen in your life. All right, here's point number one. Let's go. God uses problems to direct you. Sometimes God must light a fire under you to get you moving. You know, many times we get very comfortable and complacent, and the only thing that can get us moving is agitation. And when we're agitated and upset and simply cannot take any more, we start getting up and start moving and doing things that we probably would not do. See, problems often point us in a new direction and motivate us to change. So here's a question for you. Is God trying to get your attention in this now season of your life? Let me say it this way. What can God be to you now that you wouldn't let him be to you 2 weeks ago, 3 months ago, 6 months ago? Many times God wants to do some things for us, but we just won't allow him to help us. So what is it that God is trying to get your attention in that you wouldn't pay attention to him 5 years ago or right now as I'm talking to you? Whatever the situation is, God says, I stand ready to help you and I want to direct you and give you some wisdom and some insight so you can see exactly what I'm trying to do. Here's a Bible verse for you in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, familiar passage. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. in all thy ways, acknowledge him. Notice, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Not path, but paths with an S. In other words, there are many paths that you and I will take in life. And God says, I can provide direction in every one of those paths. I can tell you and show you exactly what you got to do, when you got to do it, and show you how to do it. I'm telling you, man, this really excites me to know that God won't allow anything bad to happen to me if I really take the time and allow him to direct me. That's point number one. God uses problems to direct you. Number two, God uses problems to inspect you. People are like tea bags. If you want to know what's inside of them, just drop them in some hot water, and whatever is inside of them, that hot water is going to pull it out. Now, here's a rhetorical question. Has God tested your faith with a problem lately? Here's another question. What do problems reveal about you? When you're dealing with problems, do you get angry, upset, bitter? Do you get in the closet and never want to come out? How do you behave when you deal with a problem? Are you immature when things don't work out the way you wanted them to? Do you start to manipulate and deceive people? Because pressure that's in a pipe is going to come out on one end or another. And God is trying to inspect you to help you to see really what's inside of you. Here's a verse of scripture that might help you in James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. When you have many kinds of trouble, you should be full of joy. Notice the response the Bible says we ought to have. When you in trouble, you should be full of joy. Because you know that these troubles will test your faith and that this will give you patience to even endure. And we got to understand our faith is like a muscle. If we don't use it, it will become flabby. So when we're dealing with problems and situations or even things that are not of our making, God is saying, I'm using this to build your faith and get it strong so you can push something, so you can move something. Watch this. So you can actually get into the very thing that I desire you to have, but it's going to take a strong, stable faith for you to get there. I've often said that whatever God inspects is because he expects something from you. So whatever is inside of you, God says, I want to pull it out of you because I'm expecting more from you. And the reality is that the people in our lives, do they really expect something from you, or do they just want you to continue to be the same person you've always been? So we've got to even ask God to send us and get us around a group of people that will expect some things from us, that they're just not around us just to be around us. But if I'm in your life, I'm expecting you to do better. I'm expecting you to overcome. I'm expecting you to achieve. I'm not expecting for us to be in this same relationship day after day, week after month, year after year, and there's never any changes. God is saying, I'm using or could be using these problems to inspect you. Point number three, God uses problems to correct you. Now, most of us don't like corrections. And if we'll be honest, we hate criticism. And I've often said there's no such thing as constructive criticism because no one ever takes it that way. We get bitter, we get upset, we get cantankerous. We don't want anybody to say anything to us, but God is our Father. And so he could be using this problem in your life to correct you, because some lessons we learn, we'll only get it through pain and failure. Because that's the only time, in most cases, God can really get us to pay attention, is when we're struggling, when we're going through, when things are not what we thought they would be. And so it is through this pain and it's through this failure that God is saying, I'm not mad with you, but I want to correct some bad behavior. It's like a parent that's dealing with their child and he tells them not to touch the stove. You know how it goes. I'm telling you not to touch the stove. But this child is like, I'm inquisitive. I'm curious. I want to see if this thing is really hot. And so they touch the stove and they get burnt and they start crying and screaming. And mom or dad comes in and say, didn't I tell you not to touch the stove? Now, I'll also say this, that experience is really not the best teacher. Obedience is. There's a difference. See, when we obey a parent or someone that has traveled down a road that we want to go on, and they say to you, don't do this, if you just obey, you'll never have to experience any bad in our life. But the reality is, because most of us won't do it that way, then what you have gone through, the hard knocks in life, hopefully will teach you. Because I do know people, they just love running into a wall. They'll get back up and they'll run into it again. And they don't even realize that right next to that wall is a door for them to walk through, and they would have never had to bump their head. But God is saying, I'm using this to correct you because I simply love you so much. In Psalms 119 and 72, it says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Notice what the psalm says again. It was good for me that I've been afflicted. I don't know anybody that has ever said that it was good for them to go through affliction. We don't like to go through it. We don't believe it holds any place value in our life. But the word of God is on a higher level of plane of consciousness. And if we can really take this and grab it and put it in our spirit and really walk this out, you ought to be able to say as you mature that there are certain things that you went through that was very good for you. You needed to go through this because it taught you more about God's word. I would say to you that I've learned more about God's word when I was in a fiery season of affliction. I learned more about prayer, more about forgiveness, more about all of the virtues in the word of God when I was in a tough place. You don't get to where you really desire to go being on the mountain always. The valley is there so that when you get to the mountaintop, you can appreciate it. You've got gratitude in your heart. You don't think you're all that. You don't think you're the creme de la creme. You don't believe in your own hype. You know, if it really hadn't been for the Lord that was on your side, you wouldn't have made it through certain times and seasons and difficulties. So it should produce in you some humility to understand that when God is correcting, is because he loves. Whom he loves, he chastens, because he wants us to grow up and to mature and be all that he has promised in the word of God that he would be to you and I. Point number four, God uses problems to protect you. Notice God said, I'm using this problem to protect you. Now, you're either going to have to get up under God's protection or you're going to do it your own way. Now, I don't know which path you're going to choose, but you've got to see this problem in your life or this closed door as God's way of protecting you from certain harm and situations. Notice that a problem can be a blessing in disguise if it prevents you from being harmed by something more serious. And it takes maturity to see it this way, because most people lack what I call foresight. Foresight is the ability to predict, or the actions of predicting, what will happen or be needed in the future. And so if God is using this problem to protect you, this closed door could be the very blessing you need. And I have to say to you, when I look back in hindsight, I thank God for what he didn't allow to be. I'm thanking God for what didn't happen. I mean, think about all the things that you've been through in your life. You may have wanted to marry this person or that person, and they shunned you. And then you look up 20 years later and you see what they became. My God, you start praising God, you start thanking him, and you start saying, Lord, I'm so glad that you didn't allow me to marry this person or that person. Because the truth is, we really don't know what we want. We think we know what we want in a certain time. But because God is so good and because God knows what is best for us, he will allow certain things to happen so that he can protect us from the enemy that's trying to take us out. Because you and I, all of us, we have an enemy that we've got to fight. But I want you to allow God to protect you right now. I want you to get up under his wing. I want you to stop doing things your way and allow the protection and the wisdom of God to really calm you down so that you don't do something crazy in your life that you will regret. Here's what the scripture says in Genesis chapter number 50 and verse number 20. It says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for my good. I'm going to say that again. You intended to harm me, to destroy me, to kill me, to knock me out of the box, but God intended it for my good. God says, I'm intending things for your good. Although the enemy wants to destroy you, that's not my mindset. God says, I'm only thinking good thoughts towards you. I'm only thinking great things towards you. Check this out. God is not our enemy. I want you to let that wash over you. God is not our enemy. And I know many of you say, yeah, I know that. But do you really have that when you're going through? Because this is where all the questions come in. Well, God, if you love me, if you care for me, if you're really on my side, why is this happening? Why is that happening? And it's the same old thing. The devil does it all the time. He wants to accuse God for the bad that's going on. Not understanding that you do, again, have an adversary. You've got somebody who is plotting and planning every day of your life to stop you from getting to the other side. So I want you to know that God could be using certain problems in your life to simply protect you and help you so that you won't make an error and a bigger mess out of a situation that never meant to be there. And lastly, number five, God uses problems to perfect you, or another way I could say this, to mature you. Because problems, when responded to correctly, are character builders. And here's what character is. It's what we are. It's one thing about a character, a person that's getting into character, they want to show you what they are. And we don't know what we really are until we are in the furnace. You know, we say, I'll never do this or I'll never do that. Don't ever say that, because you don't know what you will do until you get in a tough situation. But God says, I want to use these problems simply to grow you up. God is far more interested in your character than he is in your comfort. I'm going to say that again. God is far more interested in your character than he is your comfort. Now, the truth is, you and I are more apt to want to be comfortable than for God to grow and to build our character. But your relationship to God and your character are the only two things you're going to take into eternity. You're not going to take your cars, your houses, money, fame, prestige, awards. I've done many funerals and I've never seen anybody take all the stuff that they have accumulated to the grave. The only two things that you can get up out of here is who you are and the things that God has done in your heart. Those are the only things you can take into eternity. Here's a scripture for you. In Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, it says we can rejoice when we run into problems. Check that out. Who's ever said that to you? That you can actually rejoice when you run into a problem. They help us learn to be patient. And patience develops strength of character in us and helps us to trust God more each time when we use it until finally, catch this, our hope and faith are strong and steady. Now, that's a mouthful. That God is using a lot of this stuff that's going on in our lives to simply perfect us, to mature us, to stabilize us so that we can have divine insight, so we can understand what's going on. And it is my prayer today that you, through the five things that I've shared with you, I don't know what one of these five you're in right now, but I want you to know that God has the solution to your problems. He knows exactly what he's going to use these problems to help you with if you will allow him to do it. Here's my final point, and I'm done. God is at work in your life. I want you to believe that. I want you to know it, that God right now, as I'm talking to you, is at work in your life. If you've ever questioned it, question it no more. That God is at work in your life even when you don't recognize it, even when you don't see it. So there are times we have to ask God, take the scales from off of my eyes so that I can see what you're doing, so that I don't charge you falsely for something you are simply not behind. God wants you to understand it and know it. And he wants you to take joy and comfort in knowing that whatever is coming your way, I've got a way of an opportunity to bring you into the good that you desire for this season in your life. Also say, it is so much easier when you surrender to the plan of God. My prayer for you today is that you would surrender to the plan of God. Don't kick against what God is doing. All you're doing is losing time and energy. And that's something that you and I need on a day-to-day basis. We need time to do what God has told us to do, and we need the energy to carry it out. All right? That's all that I have for you today. I pray that this blessed you in some way. If it did, send me an email at info@thomasadeloach.com. As always, check out my website at www.thomasadeloach.com. I'm praying for you this week. I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has your best interests at heart. Be good to somebody. Be kind to somebody. Help somebody. Share these five things that I've shared with you. And I do believe as they will help you, they will also help somebody else too. All right. God bless you. And above all else, be empowered. I'll see you next week. Thank you for listening to my show, To Empower You. If you were blessed, inspired, and encouraged, please send me a praise report, prayer requests, or show ideas to info@thomasadeloach.com. And follow me on Instagram at Thomas A. Deloach and Facebook at Dr. Thomas A. Deloach. And remember, you can go to my website anytime at www.thomasadeloach.com. Until next time, be empowered.